Matthew 2, verses 1 to 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we've come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed from their own, to their own country another way.
It's a real pleasure to be here this morning, to be able to share in worship with you. And I hope we'll be able to reflect as we look into a new year about all that God has in store for us. And it's a particular pleasure to be here at the beginning of a new year. I know that last year brought tremendous sadness to this community and, of course, to Kate and the family with the very sad and unexpected loss of Trevor after his wonderful ministry here and all that God did through him. But I hope and pray that as we stand at the beginning of a new year, as we've already heard very movingly from Kate, that God will open our hearts and minds as a church and also individually in our own journeys of life and faith to all that God calls us to in this coming year. Remembering that our God is the God of the rainbows in the image that Kate gave to us. In the midst of the sadness and the clouds, God does lead us forward. The story we've just heard from Matthew's Gospel about the wise men from the east, one of the names given to this time of year in the church, and it's a very important time of year, is Epiphany. And that word Epiphany means made manifest or made obvious. And we're going to say a little bit more about that in a moment or two, but my prayer will be for all of us that God will make manifest or obvious to us the way that he would have us go as we journey forward into all that this year brings. So let's begin with a short prayer that we may hear God's word for each of us. Let us pray. Open our hearts and our minds, O Lord, that we may hear your word, believe your truth, and fashion our lives in accordance with your will, and all for Christ's sake. Amen. My guess is that you're probably coming up for air a bit after the busyness of the Christmas period and all that that involves. Many people watch large amounts of television over the Christmas period, and some of you may like watching some of the large number of detective stories which appear on the television over Christmas. crime fiction and detective stories are very popular, from Sherlock Holmes to Midsummer Murders, where it's amazing that there's anybody left in the village of Midsummer still to be murdered. One of the reasons often put forward for the popularity of some of the crime fiction is that we have a basic human need to try to make sense when there is a puzzle or a deep mystery in front of us. And one of the things that some of the crime fiction does is that we're presented with this seemingly intractable puzzle, and then it slowly but surely evolves, and we found out in the end, to use that caricatured phrase, whodunit. The mystery is solved. Now, of course, that's a little pointer to something which is much more profound in all of our lives. And that is the sheer ambiguity of human life itself. It presents us with all kinds of riddles and questions and mysteries which we have to think about. Some of you may like watching some of the documentaries on the television which describe the vastness of the cosmos, or perhaps the complexity of life on this earth. You may have watched David Attenborough with Blue Planet. We're very aware of all the challenges of human life, some of the tremendous suffering that goes on in our world, places of deep conflict, some of which we've heard about already in this service. And alongside that ugliness and conflict, there are also wonderful things that happen, ways people help one another and support one another in all kinds of ways. So life on every level presents us with all kinds of paradoxes and is a real puzzle as we work out what is the true meaning of all that we experience. We live in a world of many different faiths and worldviews. We live in a world where science has very much shaped the way we see and understand the world. And some people think that science has challenged some of the place of religion, although I personally think that's a rather shallow view. Certainly what's true is that for many of our contemporaries in our culture, the whole idea of God behind everything has become very difficult. We're told that over 50% of our population describe themselves as having no religion. But wherever we come from, whether we consider ourselves religious or not, there remains the question of the mystery of life. How are we to find real sense and purpose in the midst of all this complexity? The season of Epiphany and the story we've just heard from Matthew's Gospel helps us a great deal with that fundamental question. The search for meaning, of course, is not anything that is new. Humankind down the ages have sought to understand their lives. And not least the Magi, the wise men who journeyed from the east following the star which they'd seen and eventually finding the infant Jesus. They were learned people from the east, perhaps astrologers. It's slightly mysterious as to exactly what their background was. But nevertheless, they were learned people from the east. And they journeyed to see the child Jesus. Now, the way the story's been told in Matthew's Gospel is full of meaning. As so often in the scripture, it's not giving us just a bald factual description of what was going on. Every layer is full of different meaning. Matthew's message was contained in this story. And one of the things he was saying was that here, in this child, in this birth, is the answer to the mystery of life. Not just for one particular people, the Jews, but for all people. And that's partly the significance of the Magi journeying from the east. This was not just for for one people or one tribe. It was a message for all people, wherever they may come from in the world, through all time. It was here in Bethlehem that the child was born, where for centuries the Jews had looked forward to the birth of the Messiah. So here was a powerful message that in the birth of this child, if you want to find the answer to the mystery of life, this is where you must look first and foremost. And that's where the word epiphany comes in, because it's here that it is made obvious as to what our lives are about. It is here, in the words at the beginning of the letter to the Ephesians, that God's plan of life and for the world and the cosmos is unfolded. The very mystery of God, the mystery of life, is disclosed in the life of this person. And it tells us, of course, that in the life and death and resurrection of Christ, which we remember particularly when we celebrate the Eucharist and the story of Christ's life and death and resurrection, that God is not aloof from all that is going on. God is alongside us. God is with us in our human life. And it's more than that, that God's love, as we've already sung this morning, always surrounds us every step of the way, no matter how good or ill things may be happening to us. And it's that unending love that ultimately changes and transforms us when we let it shape our lives. One of the programs I confess to watching over the Christmas period was the Christmas edition of Doctor Who. Gets more complicated, the stories, as they go around, and if you can follow them from beginning to end, you're doing quite well. But one of the things that came out in that, the underlying narrative about our human lives, was in a way a slightly bleak one, because it said fundamentally, life's actually pretty often pretty awful. And the best any of us can do is to try to do the best we can in love and care. As if it's a sort of striving against an inevitable torrent of things going wrong. Now, our Christian vision is very different to that. It tells us, of course, that love and care are at the center of our lives, but not that it's a bleak universe where the love and care doesn't have the upper hand. We believe in a God who is love. The most fundamental reality of all is the God whose nature is love. So those little acts of love which we see in our world are not just little things where we're kind of whistling in the dark against a great tide of evil, but rather where we're beginning to tune in to that love of God, which is at the heart of all things and will lead eventually to the transformation of all things. So that Christmas message, that Epiphany message, is hugely important of God's plan, seeing our lives in the light of God's love. And one of the things we're doing, I believe, when we come into church is we bring in, of course, all our fears, our concerns, our worries, but also our hopes and our joys. And we bring all of that into church. And as we listen to God's word, and as we receive Holy Communion and remember the story of God's love, we're praying that it's that story that will really shape our lives as we look to the future. But it's not just for us. It's not just for us as a Christian community here at Holy Trinity. It's something which the church is called to share with all the world. And that imagery of the Magi, the wise men, reinforced that. The church's task is to point people to Jesus. Just as the wise men went to Jesus, our task is to say, look, here, if we take time and trouble to look, here is the answer. Here is the story of our lives unfolded. And that is our task. And I know it was very close to the heart of Trevor, as right throughout his life and ministry, to share that love of God into our world. And so we are called as a church to share our vision. And it's very good to hear that next Sunday you'll be having the Vision Sunday for this church as you look into the future, into all that God will have for you in the future. And also importantly, the Sunday after, the Giving Sunday, when we reflect on how God is calling each one of us to give, to try to support that vision. Across the Diocese of Southwark, during this period of Epiphany, in all of our churches across this wonderful and large diocese, the bishops have been calling everyone to try to reflect on God's vision, not only for their individual church, but also for us as a diocese together, because we belong together as the body of Christ. One of the things we are very keen to do is to give thanks to God for his generosity and love for each one of us, and particularly for the generosity of all the parish churches, of which this is very much one, in supporting the mission and ministry right across the diocese. Because the giving that goes on enables mission and ministry and God's love to be shared in every community, no matter how wealthy or how poor that community might be. And it's that giving which enables that ministry right across the diocese. And you may be aware that in the diocese we have had in recent years a very major change in the way we do our mutual support of one another. And in last year, in the parish support fund by which parishes give in to support one another, over 99% of all the pledges came in, which is a tremendous result and one to give real thanks to God for, and thanks to you for the generosity in that. Our diocese serves nearly 3 million people in this country. We have over 350 churches and 106 schools. And there are many and varied types of ministry across our diocese, and we belong to one another. And we very much seek to follow a common vision. And one of the things the Diocesan Synod has done in recent months is develop a Southwark vision through to the year 2025. And it's basically seeking to share that love of God in our world. And it reflects the so-called five marks of mission, which are very widely understood right across the Anglican Communion worldwide. And it involves growing churches and seeing new people coming to real faith and knowledge of God's love. It involves deepening discipleship in our own journeys of life and faith, that we become more prayerful and informed Christians. It involves growing vocations, being open to what God is saying to each one of us about what we're doing with our lives in God's service. It's trying to develop a church that really reflects the tremendous diversity of the communities that we serve. It's about developing a church which is also generous in its giving of time and money and prayer, supporting all that we do. It's about being a church that is really concerned for justice and peace across our world and in our own city. It's about being a church which really cares about our God-given environment. All of those things intertwine, and all of them are part of this shared vision and mutual concern. And it's very important that we have a sense that as we journey as individual churches, that we are part of God's church worldwide, not only in our own parish, but our own diocese and throughout the world. And pray for God's blessing on us as we move forward. So I hope and pray for this parish that as you develop the vision, particularly next Sunday, and the generosity and the giving Sunday that follows, that you will have a real sense that you are part of God's worldwide church as well as God's church in this immediate place. We know that there are big things to decide, as we've already heard in our prayers, as we try to find the right person to be the next vicar for this place. But in all of these things, what we're really trying to do is to point our own lives and that of our community to the very place that the mystery of our lives is made clear. The birth and life and death and resurrection of Christ, where God's love is made known. So as we go into this year of our Lord 2018, I hope and pray that all of us will look to Jesus, and as did the wise men all those years ago, find more and more of God's love, the answer to the deep mysteries of our lives. And that suffering, reconciling, but ultimately triumphant love of God, that will guide each one of us into this new year, and that we ourselves may be channels of that love and understanding in our world. I want to close with a short moment of quiet, and then I'm going to pray two prayers for this coming year. One is a prayer which is being said, has been offered to be said in all of our churches at this Epiphany Tide. And then I'm going to pray the collect or special prayer for Epiphany. But before I pray them, I invite us to keep a moment of silent prayer to offer our own lives, your particular concerns that you may have in all that faces you individually, but also in the life of this church and this parish, and also in the life of our diocese and God's church worldwide. So let us pray. Loving God, in this season of gifts, we celebrate the many signs of your glory made known in your world. We rejoice in your transforming presence in every community in our diocese, and especially here at Holy Trinity. Fill our hearts with your generous love, and send us out to serve you with joy, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And the collect or special prayer for Epiphany. O God, who by the leading of a star manifested your only Son to the peoples of the earth, mercifully grant that we, who know you now by faith, may at last behold your glory face to face, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.